I'm not going to speak on that parasha today. I'm going to speak on Sukkot. So, take this opportunity. Took the glasses off too soon. There. Today, we're in the midst of the Feast of Sukkot, or the Festival of Tabernacles, as it is often called. It's the seventh and it's the final festival given to Israel by Yehovah our Yah. And that festival of Sukkot, or festival of tabernacles, as the Christians call it. And this is the most joyous festival of all. What is most prominent in this festival is eating, especially eating in your booths or your sukkah. And it's one of the most prominent festivals that's mentioned in Scripture than any other. It's a time in Israel today where the Christian embassy in Jerusalem puts on a huge festival with tens of thousands of Christians go in and they march by country through the streets of Jerusalem and have tremendous festival for a whole week over there. So this festival is also served as an historical backdrop for the important teachings of Yeshua HaMashiach. And we find those teachings in Yochanan, or John, chapters 7 through to 9. The meaning of Sukkot is known by at least two names in Scripture. It's most often referred to as Sukkot or Tabernacles. Tabernacle comes from the Latin, which is tabernaculum, which means booth or hut. And the English have used the word tabernacle as a meaning to a place where we dwell, which is where you dwell in a booth or a hut. So the name tabernacle, from the biblical requirement for all of Israel, is to live in temporary shelters during this holy festival. This final festival of the year is also known in Scripture as the Festival of Ingathering. And that's found in Shemot, or Exodus 23:16, if we could go there, please. Next, the Festival of Harvest, the first fruits of your efforts sowing in the field, and last, the Festival of Ingathering at the end of the year. Did you notice that? At the end of the year. It's when you gather in from the fields of the results of your efforts. So it's not actually the end of the year at the moment, but it's going into their autumn weather. So this is when they harvest their last lot of crops that have been growing since spring and over summer. In Shemot, Exodus 34:22, it goes on, "Observe the festival of Shavuot with the first gathered produce of the wheat harvest and the festering of ingathering at the turn of the year." So it's the turn from the seasons, from the summer into the autumn. This festival was observed after all the crops had been harvested and gathered in. The festival was also celebrated with great joy, and there were two reasons for this joy. First, it commemorated past goodness and previous provision during the wilderness experience, and it also commemorated Yah's present goodness and provision with the completion of the present harvest. The time of Sukkot is very important. This festival falls in the Israeli autumn. On the Hebrew calendar, it always occurs on the 15th day of the Babylonian month of Tishri, or scriptural month of Etanayim. Its original name before the Babylonian captivity was Etanayim. But after they were in Babylon, they changed that month to Tishri. As I've said previously, they changed Aviv, the first month, to Nisan, which turns, Nisan goes from being spring or new life into a miracle. So this can fall anywhere between late September and mid-October on our calendar. The first day, which was during last week, according to the sighting of the moon, and the next special Shabbat, which is on the eighth day, is known as Shemini Atzeret. And both days are considered sacred assemblies, or Shabbats, where no work is done. This regulation is given in Vayikra chapter 23. So if we go to the next slide, please. In Vayikra, Leviticus 23:36. For 7 days you are to bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. We know we can't do that. There's no temple. We're not in the land. On the eighth day you are to have a holy convocation and bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. It is a day of public assembly. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. And further down in verse 39, but on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered the produce of the land, you are to observe the festival of Yehovah 7 days. The first day is to be a complete rest, and the eighth day is to be a complete rest. So there are three portions of scripture which outline the biblical observance of the festival of Sukkot. The people, one, were to live in booths or temporary shelters and rejoice before Yah with branches, according to Vayikra Leviticus 23:33-34. Thank you. Yehovah said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel, on the 15th day of this seventh month, it's not the first month, it's the seventh month, the feast of Sukkot is the feast of Sukkot for 7 days to Yehovah. On the first day there is to be a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. For 7 days you are to bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. On the eighth day you are to have a holy convocation and bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. It is a day of public assembly. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. These are the designated times of Yehovah that you are to proclaim as holy convocations and bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, each on its own day. Can we go to the next slide, please? Besides the Shabbats of Yehovah, your gifts, all your vows and all your voluntary offerings that you give to Yehovah. But on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered the produce of the land, you are to observe the festival of Yehovah 7 days. The first day is said to be a complete rest, and the eighth day is to be a complete rest. On the first day you take a choice fruit, palm fronds, thick branches and river willows, and celebrate in the presence of Yehovah your Elohim for 7 days. You are to observe it as a feast to Yehovah 7 days in the year. It is a permanent regulation, generation after generation. Keep it in the seventh month. And in verse 42, the next slide. You are to live in Sukkot for 7 days. Every citizen of Israel is to live in a sukkah, so that generation after generation of you will know that I made the people of Israel live in Sukkot when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yehovah, your Elohim. Now, we are not talking about the land of Israel when it says every person, I made the people of Israel live in Sukkot when I brought them, and every person has to, every citizen of Israel has to do it. They're not talking about the citizens of the land of Israel. The Druze, the Christians, the Arabs don't live in Sukkot or a sukkah. but those of the family of Israel that live in the diaspora, you can live in a sukkah because you're part of Israel. But not everyone in the land lives there. So we have to make sure that when we read the scripture, we're not reading about the land Israel. When this was written, the land of Israel didn't exist, and it was never meant to exist. The land of Israel is Yah's promised land. It was never meant to be called Israel. It was called that by man after the Second World War. So there were to be many daily sacrifices according to Bamidbar Numbers 29, 12 to 39, which we read. And in a sabbatical or shimtar or seventh year, the Torah was to be read publicly according to Devarim, Deuteronomy 31, 10 to 13. If we could go there, please. Moshe gave them these orders. At the end of every 7 years, during the festival of Sukkot, in the year of Shemitah, when all Israel have come to appear in the presence of Yehovah at the place he will choose, you are to read this Torah before all Israel so that they can hear it. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the little ones, and the foreigners you have in your towns, so that they can hear, learn, fear Yehovah, your Elohim, and take care to obey all the words of this Torah, so that their children who have not known can hear and learn to fear Yehovah, your Elohim, as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Yarden to possess. So this was meant for all generations. That's why we observe it today. We're still part of the family of Israel, and we're still part of those generations that are continuing. Because the joy associated with the festival of Sukkot, it became the most prominent of Israel's holidays, so that in the land of Israel, they all closed down for the week. And every single little Jewish apartment has their sukkah on a little tiny balcony, which would take up the first two rows of seats. And that's as big as that. So they can't live on it. They eat in it. And you can't live in that sukkah. It's too small for the whole family. But they do eat in it. And it is a holiday time. School's finished. They've only started school at the beginning of at the end of August, and they've already taken a week off for Sukkot. So its importance is also seen in the conclusion of the three pilgrim feasts, when all Jewish males were required to appear before Yehovah in the temple. And as you know, these feasts are the festival of Matzah, the festival of Shavuot, and the festival of Sukkot. As you notice, Yom Kippur is not in there. You weren't called to the temple on Yom Kippur. You were only called for the festival of Matzah, or Pesach, festival of Shavuot, and the festival of Sukkot. And they're called the pilgrim feasts because people were required to pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, and they came from all over to do that. It was during the festival of Sukkot that the people brought their tithes and their offerings to the temple, because they were not to appear before Yehovah empty-handed. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 17, please. Three times a year, all of your men are to appear in the presence of Yehovah your Elohim, in the place which he will choose, at the festival of Matzah, at the festival of Shavuot, and the festival of Sukkot. They are not to show up before Yehovah empty-handed, but every man is to give what he can in accordance with the blessing Yehovah your Elohim has given you. In the days of the temple, the festival of Sukkot was viewed as with great awe. It was during this festival that King Shlomo dedicated the newly built tabernacle or temple to Yehovah at the ancient observance of Sukkot. And this is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. If we can go there, please. All the people of Israel assembled before the king at the festival in the seventh month. And further down in 13 and 14 it says, "And when the trumpeters and singers were playing in concord to be heard harmoniously praising and thanking Jehovah, and they lifted their voices together with the trumpets, cymbals and other musical instruments to praise Jehovah, for he is good, for his grace continues forever, then the house of Jehovah was filled with a cloud, so that because of the cloud the Kohanim could not stand up to perform their services, for the glory of Jehovah filled the house of Elohim." It was during this time that they really pressed in to him. Excuse me. And as I said earlier, the festival of Sukkot occurs in Israel's change of seasons, and it marks the beginning of the autumn rainy season. Jerusalem receives only 20 inches of rain a year, and this rain occurs between November and March. Now, they pray every year from Sukkot onwards that the rains will come. And the rains are so essential for moistening the soil, for planting and for the sprouting of the seeds that have been sown. And if this rainfall is missed for several weeks, a huge water shortage can quickly develop for the coming year's crops. Anticipation of rain is at its highest in Israel at this festival. So prayers of rain and the festival of Sukkot have become inseparable to this day. I'm not too sure whether most of you know that Israel is in a six-year drought at the moment, and Lake Kinneret is at its lowest level ever. And if you've been to Israel and you've seen what they call the Jesus boat, that was found in 1958 when Lake Kinneret was low. So now it's lower than it was even then. Sukkot has many rich blessings associated with it. Not far into the gospel accounts of the life of Yeshua, we find the most powerful reference to the festival of Sukkot. As the emissary Yochanan relates at the special background of Mashiach, he openly declares the divine nature of Yeshua. Can we go to Yochanan Aleph, please, 1 John and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim." This Word, as Yochanan calls Yeshua, was manifested to the world in a very practical and tangible way. In Yochanan chapter 1 verse 14, not one Yochanan, this is the different Yochanan, "The Word became a human being and lived with us, and we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Here, Yochanan, or John the Immerser, is saying that the Word became a human being, Yeshua, and lived or tabernacled with us. Yochanan tried to describe Mashiach's first coming to his people, and the most obvious picture was the holy days of Sukkot, the days that celebrate the dwelling of Yehovah amongst his people. And there is, of course, there's some controversy concerning the actual date of Yeshua's birth in Beit Lechem. Many believers say that there is no definite statement on the day that can be set with certainty. Since the 4th century before this current era, the Western Church has celebrated, since the 4th century, so 400 years of this current era, the Western Church has celebrated December the 25th as the official day to acknowledge the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach. However, most historians admit that this was more in concession to the pagans of the Roman Empire than to any holy scriptures, as has often been the case with the early church. Christianized existing pagan days and festivals to accommodate many new converts. Now, December the 25th is a classic case in point. It actually happened on an ancient feast to celebrate the return of the sun after the winter solstice. It had nothing to do with the birth of Yeshua. Yet still, it was adopted. Many people overlook the important evidence that Sukkot provides. When the emissary Yochanan describes the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach, he paints it in terms of Sukkot. Critical events regarding Yehovah's plan are constantly fulfilled on the special holy days of the biblical Hebrew calendar. We find Yeshua dying on the stake and becoming our Passover lamb at Pesach. The pouring out of the first fruits of Yehovah's Ruach HaKodesh also took place on the appropriate holy day of Shavuot, two of the pilgrim feasts. Would not such an important event of the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach go unheralded by one of the biblical festivals? All of the festivals of Yehovah, Sukkot best illustrates the fact that Yehovah would dwell in the midst of his people through the presence of Yeshua HaMashiach. It may have literally fulfilled his promise on the first day of Sukkot. Now, it's easy to document, but not a well-known fact, is the date of the birth of Yeshua. And this is done by establishing several things. The date that the angel Gabriel tells Zechariah while serving in the Holy of Holies that he is to be the father of Yochanan. Yochanan's date of birth is established by going forward 9 months, the term of pregnancy, and 6 months after Elizabeth's conception, Zechariah's wife, we get the appropriate date of Miriam's conception, which was around Hanukkah. 9 months after Hanukkah is Sukkot. It is believed he was born on the first day of Sukkot and circumcised and named on the eighth day of Sukkot, which is also Shemini Atzeret. The actual year is then traced by the date of Herod's death. And this is important, as Yeshua had to leave Israel because Herod, when he learned of the birth of the prophesied king, commanded of the killing of all children less than 2 years of age. Now, it was the custom in ancient Israel to count the years of one's age, and they still do it, from the date of conception. Therefore, Herod actually killed the children 1 year old and under, according to the way that age was calculated in that day and still is today. We all know from Scripture that Yeshua was born in a shelter for animals during the time that Herod called a census of the people who were all called to the city of their ancestry. Both Yeshua's mother and her betrothed were both from the line of King David and had to go to Beit Lechem, the house of bread, known as Bethlehem in English. And Yeshua was actually born in a sukkah. The English word stable and the feeding trough, called a manger as his crib, in which he was placed, are the English equivalent of a sukkah, but neither of these English words give a true meaning to the place of birth. If we go to Bereshit 33 and verse 17, it says, Yaakov went on to Sukkot, where he built himself a house and put up shelters for his cattle. And this is why the place is called Sukkot. What did he put up the shelters for? The cattle, for the livestock. The original reason for a sukkah was that it was built to shelter the animals. We know Yeshua was born in a place to shelter animals because his crib was the feeding trough of those animals. We also know it was not winter, as in December, because the trough would have been used by the animals at that time, but the trough was empty and the animals were still in the field at the time of his birth. There are many lessons that we can learn from Sukkot. We've got Jehovah's provision, his dwelling with his people, and the joy of the Ruach HaKodesh are all themes that draw attention to the plan written in the scriptures. Yet there is still a future element remaining to be fulfilled by the festival of Sukkot. The emissary Yochanan tells us in his vision of final things that the reality of Sukkot will be obvious to all. If we go to slide 12, please. In Revelation 21, 1-4, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer there. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, prepared like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, 'See, Yehovah's Shekinah is with mankind, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and he himself, Elohim, will be with them, will be their Elohim. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning, crying or pain, because the old order has passed away.'" Sukkot was always known to be the holy days that commemorate Yehovah's dwelling with his people. How fitting for the kingdom of Elohim when it fully comes to redeem the earth to be considered the ultimate fulfillment of this holy day. Yehovah will finally dwell with his people in all his fullness. The Sukkah of Elohim will be among men when Yeshua HaMashiach dwells as the ruler of that 1,000-year messianic reign. Many people this day believe he will return to Jerusalem during Sukkot to begin his millennium reign and therefore flock there at this time of year. All the feasts of Yehovah have their own particular lesson to teach. Yet because of its latter-day fulfillment, Sukkot seems to be the apex of all the other appointed festivals. The goal of Yehovah's plan is to ultimately establish his kingdom on this earth. And this is why Sukkot is said to be the premier celebration of the millennium. As we read in the prophecy of Zechariah in Zechariah 14, 16 and 17, please. "Finally, everyone remaining from all the nations that came to attack Jerusalem will go up every year to worship the king, Yehovah Tzevaot, and to keep the festival of Sukkot. If any families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Yehovah Tzevaot, no rain will fall on them." Here Zechariah is saying that the judgment for not celebrating Sukkot is the withholding of rain. Since Sukkot celebrates the fall harvest and is traditional in the Jewish community and in Israel to begin the prayers for winter rains, essentially for the coming year. When Yeshua returns to establish his long-awaited kingdom of the people who have been redeemed by his sacrifice, we will gladly celebrate Sukkot in its entire fullness. And what a celebration that's going to be, with all his people, Jew and Gentile alike, who wave their palm branches and call, "Ana Yehovah Hoshianu, Yah, do save us. Amen. Come, Yeshua, come." So that's the full story on Sukkot, and we can still believe that he will come. He didn't come this Sukkot, but he will come and tabernacle with his people during Sukkot. I don't think the world is ready just yet.